Welcome to a new season of CFTV Live. Jared Stansberry and Jeff Woody back again, as always, presented by our friends at AgriGold. What's up, Jeff?
I'm so excited for it to be football season.
Yeah, it's game week.
It's finally game week. I feel like it's been almost game week for like 3 weeks now, where it's used to look like, oh, we're playing on Saturday? Nah, not yet.
Nope.
Not yet.
Now they will play on Saturday.
Now they actually will play on Saturday.
Are you excited to go to a football game?
I'm very much excited to go. You know what I'm also excited about is that it's at 7 o'clock. And so a lot of times, like if it's at 11, you're like, oh, well, that's done. Well,
yeah.
I mean, I'll go watch another game later, but it's at 7. So you get to enjoy like the whole day. You might mow the lawn in the morning or something like that.
No, but you watch College Game Day in the morning.
Well, true. But at some point, like you have to do weekend chores.
Sunday. That's what Sunday's for,
right?
Especially this
week. Because there's
you
no NFL.
You got a three-day weekend this week.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm saying, people that are busybodies would do something in the morning, but then you're up to Ames and at like noon, mm-hmm. and you can stay there whenever they open tailgating lots, and they like get up there and hang out all morning and then watch the game, and then you get back at, you know, midnight or whatever, and you're like, that was a satisfying day. It was opening game at night is always like, it keeps the enjoyment the full time.
The plan for this year, CFTV Live, just like last season, starting next week, we'll start breaking down game film, obviously from Iowa State's hopefully win mm-hmm. over the South Dakota State Jackrabbits. And we're going to do this every week at 1:45.
Give or take.
Yeah, give or
take. Kind of depends on when I got to work.
Yeah, Jeff's work schedule's a little out of whack now.
Which I would like to apologize for the fans that we haven't really put anything out for four weeks. I'll take the blame on that one. I just don't, like, schedule got super busy throughout the summer. So now that it's actually football season, there is a lot of time for me to do this. So you don't worry about, like, missing weeks or missing whatever. This will be a very consistent time. Mondays at 1:45, 2 o'clock, around this time, we'll actually do the regularly scheduled CFTV. So for everybody that was like, man, where has this been? The three people that missed it.
There was a bunch of people on the forums every week that would say, where's CFTV Live?
That is, I will take the blame for that, of just could not find consistent time to work throughout a schedule of actually getting here to do something. And actually, not that we could do something. Like, I could show up and just talk about nothing, which probably could kind of what some of it was, but it wouldn't be good product. So mm-hmm. I would rather put out nothing than something bad. And so, my fault, we're back on a regular schedule.
Back on regular schedule, Mondays, 1:45, 2, somewhere in that range. So plan your Monday afternoons accordingly.
Right, come back from your lunch break.
Yeah.
And then get back to work.
Right, yeah, exactly. All you people that sit at a desk.
I don't.
No, neither one of us do that.
I like not sitting at a desk.
I hate sitting at a desk. All right, so what really, truly... No, this is a conference table. What truly made this game week is that this morning, or I guess kind of around noon, Iowa State put out its week one depth chart. If you've paid close attention to the coverage that we've had here at Cyclone Fanatic throughout fall camp, not really a ton of surprises on there. There were some names that maybe we didn't expect to see, some true freshmen that were in the mix. But for the most part, it was just about everything that you would expect to see. No huge surprises, and some names that have emerged as being contenders for playing time.
Yeah, I think that it's not that there's surprises, but I think the most notable thing, at least for me, there's really like three positions that kind of stick out as like either good, not necessarily, I don't think there's any bad moves because we haven't seen anybody play. Like you can go watch practice, you can watch scrimmages, but those aren't really true tests of like if it's a good roster move or not. So if you say this now and they're potentially going to change by next week, and obviously you have a couple people coming off suspension for next week's game. So either way, like we know that it's going to be different as we go forward, but just the things that, like I said, that stick out, not good, bad, or indifferent. I think there is one that is very good though. I think the defensive line is one of the things that we in years past, and we talked about this in the summer, like in years past, the defensive line has always been like, oh God, we just really need to not suck there and we'll mm-hmm. be all right. And that's, it's trying to kind of like mitigate the weakness, where this year, that is one of the strongest positions.
Right.
At least the starters for sure. And then a backup's at a couple positions like Jaquan Bailey and Spencer Benton at that whatever the
Leo spot.
The Leo spot, the left defensive end. That spot is – those two guys are very strong. So one or two, you could swap one out. I think Bailey's probably more physically talented. He's now starting to figure out what the hell football is. And so he's starting to become like a, actually a really good player. And then, like I said, Spencer Benton, you don't really miss a beat when you get spent or when you get Benton in there. I don't know how Matt Leo's playing, but he's up at the two line. He's not at a three or more line. So you'd think that it's starting to click for him. And he's a freak. We've talked about it as an athlete, as a two line. But the three guys that I really like where they're at is Jamal Johnson starting at nose guard frees up Ray Lima to move to a three technique. And so what the difference between, well, and the other one, what that means is, so Jamal Johnson being capable enough to start at nose guard moves Ray Lima to a three technique, and then Ray Lima playing three technique moves Eni Wasirike to a defensive end position. And the reason why those are good is you have...
Yeah, we don't have our whiteboard. Yeah, don't have our whiteboard anymore.
Lo siento. But the reason why it's good is a nose guard, the point of a nose guard is just to be a plug. Like, you want to disrupt a little bit, but you can't disrupt that far because you're creating a crater behind you. But it's to be a plug where double teams want to come off, like, to take you and move you out of the spot, because pretty much every zone play is reading that guy. Like, it's trying to see, do you get him hooked? Do you get him reached? Do you get him pushed? So they're looking at that guy. Well, Ray Lima's not, he's a very good plug, but he's more of a disruptor than he is a plug. He's going to take somebody backwards. And so the center, where the nose guard is generally going to play, is he's generally going to be on either side of the center, and they're going to set the strength of the defense away from that guy, and they're going to set it and put Jamal Johnson blocked down right in front of the center. So what that frees Lima up to do is move out to the three technique, which is outside the shoulder of the guard, which is closer to the guard and the tackle. Well, there's more fanning out that happens outside on the offensive line than there is on the inside of the offensive line, which means more space, which means more one-on-one matchups. Ray Lima will win a whole bunch of one-on-one matchups. So his capacity to now be less double-teamed, more single-teamed, and granted, tackles and guards, they double team. It's a difference. It's not a huge difference, but it is definitely a difference from nose to three. But it allows him to play more in space. And so if he's going to be a disruptor in the run game, he can push somebody back because there's not such a condensed focus on that guy as there is a nose guard. So him being able to push back, and I think what's more exciting is in the passing game, is everything in the front of the pocket. We did a kind of a decent pocket breakdown last year. The front of the pocket, the offensive line wants to set it in the front, and then they want to get the tackles up and out. So they want to, you want to form like an actual U. Mm-hmm. Well, the thing with a nose guard, which is like okay, is if you can eat two or three guys to keep that there, then all of a sudden you're one-on-one everywhere else, and you have one defensive end with space, just have that guy win a matchup, or another, like, again, Jamal or Jaquan Bailey on one-on-one with a tackle, or Eni Wasirike one-on-one with a tackle, and then Ray Lima one-on-one with a guard, because Jamal Johnson's just being a plug with that one, or with the other guard and the tackle. And so if you can just let somebody sit there with Johnson taking up blockers, it frees up one-on-ones for the rest. And Lima is, like I said, a monster. His bull rush is terrific. His hands are terrific. And Wasirike, I think you said this last year, the coaching staff may have said he may be just the most physically talented football player at any position on the team. And now he's starting to play the position that he's naturally built for, long and athletic, with still a pretty good amount of weight to him. So the defensive line, letting Johnson be the nose guard and not making Lima do that position and then putting, you know, somebody else back there, letting Lima play three and letting Wasirike play the defensive end position, I think that is a really formidable unit up front, which lets the fact that there is a true freshman linebacker, which they're not going to play a true freshman unless he's worthy of it. Like, mm-hmm. They're not just going to throw a dude out there. So I don't have any doubt that the Rose kid, which
Mike Rose, yeah.
Mike Rose, he's starting as a true freshman in that 4-3 front.
Maybe. He's in the three.
He's listed as
one of the three possibilities. Yeah.
But he's the top line of the three, which would sort of wink, wink, nudge, nudge that guy.
Yeah.
But anyway, you have a true freshman at middle linebacker, but you also have a guy, again, if Johnson is capable of playing that nose guard, then that means he has beat somebody out for that position, which means he's going to keep people off of a linebacker. There's a three technique, named Ray Lima, who's definitely going to keep him clean. And so it's not going to be a really rude awakening for him into the just the first foyer into college football, because he's got good dudes in front of him. And he's bookended by Harvey and Spears, who are also really experienced linebackers. So I think the fact that there is a freshman linebacker listed, again, at the top of the oars, which you would think, again, would make him the one, then I think that's less of a concern than it would be as if this was years past and you had some questionable defensive tackles or questionable three techniques that don't really have the capacity to keep people off linebackers. I think that's the most notable group. But that defensive line group, I'm really, really excited to see play on Saturday to see what Lima in a three can do, because last year they played the 3-4 and he was a true zero nose. And so, like, we went over defensive line techniques, and just think the smaller the number, the closer to the football it is. So a zero is right in front of the ball, which means there is a center looking you square in the eye and two guards on either side. And so if you wanted to do something, you got three dudes that you have to fight for. Now you push them out as a three technique, which means, again, outside shoulder of the guard, you've got at most the guard and the tackle. At most. The center's not going to join in a three technique. It's not going to get there. So at most you've got two guys to deal with. So his capacity to, I mean, I don't know if I can say this word, but it was one of my favorite phrases, blow shit up. Like, make a play that was supposed to be good turn into nothing. That's what a good penetrating defensive lineman can do. Yeah. And Lima now has a much better position, not a zero nose. He's playing three. That's a much better position for him to do that.
The FCC is not listening to us, so I think
blow shit up, Ray Lima.
I think you can say that if you want to. The only problem will be if C-Dub doesn't want you to get an explicit tag put on our podcast. But no, I mean, I definitely agree with what you're saying about Ray Lima, especially when it comes to Mike Rose at that Mike linebacker spot. I think that we saw last year what his value did for Joel Lanning in a guy that had never played the linebacker position before, or if he had, it had been a long time previous to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least for Mike Rose, he is someone who's grown up playing linebacker,
right?
You know, and also, he knows what he's doing at playing linebacker.
He does. I mean, it does come at you faster. Games will come a lot faster, but the fastness will slow down. So, like, the degree to which he's going to see an increase, he's not going to get he's not going to get an unencumbered guard into his chin like what happened a little bit last year, because the two starting defensive tackles, correct me if I'm wrong, were Vernell Trent and Ray at the start of last year?
Yeah.
Okay. So either way, but those guys were good, but they also, like, produced a lot to Joel's lap. And so he was learning on the fly, and without being comfortable, that is a lot faster to deal with. Like, a silly analogy would be like, all right, it's your first day in a new job, and now every 35 seconds, someone's just going to come in with, like, one of those, like, the boomsticks that you give you at, like, baseball games and just beat you in the face with it for, like, a good 12, 15 seconds, and you have to learn your job. And then if you can remove, it's still going to happen. Like, you get a new job, someone's going to hit you in the face with boomsticks, but you can spread that out to, like, every 2 minutes. You can get a lot more done. You feel a lot more comfortable. You learn better without the constant distraction of something hitting you in the mouth. Because that's what linebacker is you are in the middle of all the chaos. And so having a freshman get his acclimation with a year under his belt, Ray Lima, who is, again, demonstrably better now than even he was halfway through last year. Because by the end of the season last year, he was a much more disruptive force than at the beginning. And then, again, Jamal Johnson, who's had another year under his belt and has, again, earned the spot of nose guard amongst a pretty decent group of interior defensive linemen, I think that should bode well for Rose to learn the position again, assuming that the top line on the depth chart means starting.
Well, and I think that it helps for him too. I mean, honestly, even if it's not Rose and it's Orion Vance, I mean, he's still someone who has not played in a real game.
He's a pup.
Yet.
Yeah, he played special teams, but he's a pup.
No, he redshirted last year. He did not play last year.
Which, interesting about the new redshirt rule, I wonder who that is going to apply to this year.
Well, I mean, I think if we look at the depth chart,
like, what situations come up from that?
A handful of freshmen on this list. I mean, Joey Ramos is a is listed at left tackle. I think that he's someone that we're going to see at some point. I think Trevor Downing is a guy we're going to see at some point.
Especially
Isaiah Lee being on the depth chart tells me we'll probably see him.
Especially, I doubt that if this game gets close, you're not going to see him.
No,
but if
no.
this game goes like last year's UNI game did, which I don't know, any FCS, not FCS opponent, it is FCS, but any FCS opponent is really hard to judge how good they're going to be because it's more about cohesiveness than individual talent. And so, like, you can be a really talented team, but if you don't play well together, then you're never going to be as talented as the other team. Even North Dakota State. Like, North Dakota State is really talented, but they're really good because they play together.
Right.
And so the South Dakota State program plays together really well, but so does Northern Iowa. And Northern Iowa can be hit or miss. And so South Dakota State is going to be a winning team, but are they a 7-8 win team? Are they a 9-10 win team? Are they a 10-11 win team? Like, that's kind of yet to be determined. So it's hard to project how good they actually are based on pure roster stats alone. You kind of have to see them play against the bigger boys because, again, if they're playing not super cohesively and then the other team is also likewise not playing super cohesively, at that point talent beats talent. So it's hard to see, but so I'm not saying that this will get out of hand because you never know. It's a very good program, South Dakota State.
They are still they still are a team that played in the national semifinals last year and are number 3 in the country going into the season.
Right, they're very good, but they could also be again, rebuilding, and they have to find that cohesion, and then they play good. I don't know. Yeah. I would assume it's going to be a really quality test. But let's say this does go like Northern Iowa, because Northern Iowa was way more comfortable or way more uncomfortable last year than I think everybody wanted it to be until the middle end of the fourth quarter, and it started to space out, like with that pick six and then another touchdown. And it went from being like 9 or 10 to like 22, and you're like, okay, I feel a lot better about this. Mm-hmm. So if that happens, we're towards the end of the fourth quarter, you get substitutions. That's when those guys would be the ones that you see. Because for those that weren't really paying attention, like in the offseason, one of the things the NCAA allowed now is just there's a maximum of 4 games that any freshman can play in and still get their red shirt. So eliminate like the confusion of did they earn enough time. It's 4. If you appeared in 4 or less games, I think you can be redshirted.
Well, and I think there's also some strategy that's going to be involved in this because, I mean, a guy like Trevor Downing, who Coach Campbell said ever since he got here that he'd rather play someone too late than too early. If you go into this week and even if you get a big lead, I mean, there's still guys that you can put out there on the field, you know, and not have to keep your starters out there.
Right.
Besides the true freshman. But if they think that he's ready to go in and play, I wouldn't be surprised to see him play this week.
Right.
But at the same time, if they don't think that those guys are ready to play, they'll save them. But then if it gets towards the end of the year and it's like, all right, this guy can help us, then you might see them more working into even the rotation or something like that, because I know there were some guys that were like that last year.
Yeah. So I'm just curious about who do they play? Because I'm sure they have a list, and I'm sure they have situations that
Will
kind
McDonald,
of
a defensive end from Wisconsin, I mean, he's a guy that I know is going to be right in that mix. He's not on the 2-deep, but I was told that he is the best recruit they've ever brought in.
Wow.
So, that kid's legit. I think there's some defensive backs that you might see worked into that mix. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think there's a handful of guys that they know, if it comes to that point, that they won't be afraid to use them.
Yeah. And I
think Brock Purdy, you could see him at some point.
I bet they give Zeb a lot more reps.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. You got to be up by a lot because you got to get Zeb this time too.
Yeah, I think Zeb is going to have – I don't think they throw Purdy in there unless – I don't know who that would be against, because I don't even think – I mean,
Akron's going to be awful.
Good.
Yeah.
But if they would have – they'd have to really have it in hand. I don't think – like this game will probably be – because of just – again, I don't know what South Dakota State has. I haven't really looked at any – I haven't done my research on that. My bad. But I don't think that this will be a super comfortable game, and it shouldn't really worry people because this is a very, very good program. Like they've put a lot of dudes in the NFL, probably more in the past 5 years than Iowa State has.
I think they had 2 guys just last year that got drafted.
Right, and so it's a very good program. They know what they're doing. They run a very – it's a fun style. It's a fun team to watch. So this is not going to be one of those like, all right, we're playing, you know, Sister Mary's Blind Children of the Poor. Like, it's not that. They're still good. So let's let's not go into this thinking like, all right, let's see what kind of freshman we can start playing in the second quarter when we're up by 57. That's not going to happen. Let's put it out there that way. I do think this game is going to be a really fun game to watch, though, because there's nobody that South Dakota State has seen on their schedule that is David Montgomery. Mm-hmm. They've not seen that. And so letting that they've not seen Hakeem Butler. Like, they've seen really talented dudes, but that
– even those guys on the defensive line.
Right, or any Wazirike. Like, they haven't – they might have seen some of the – like, from one of the – like, the Montana schools or the Dakota schools. But anyway, those freak talent that some of the dudes at Iowa State now have are – to cut that loose. Like, I'm super excited to see that.
We'll talk more about that when we come back. You're watching CFTV Live presented by AccraGold on CycloneFanatic.com.
Hello, friends. We'll get you back to the Cyclone Fanatic podcast here in just a minute. This is Chris Williams, and I want to tell you guys about a great experience I recently had. Mine was up at Ames Eye Clinic. Now, the same guys, Dr. Kruger and the crew, are also down in Des Moines, so we've got a lot of options for you here. But I had lunch with Dr. Kruger, and I was telling him about some of the symptoms that I had had. I was having headaches all the time. I felt like I needed in the back of my neck. It was weird. It was like stiff all the time. I noticed, I was having problems reading up close. It was weird. Went in, had my eyes checked, and sure enough, I had some issues going on that I never even thought of. I never had to wear glasses as a kid. You get a little bit older. They hooked me up with some glasses that I use now when I'm looking at my computer screen all day working here at Cyclone Fanatic. Headaches have not completely gone away, but they've gotten a lot better. If you're like me, you probably haven't had your eyes checked in years. It had been over a decade since I had. Really glad that I went in there. Most insurance, it's going to work because they can code it, that it's health. There's a lot of different things that can happen with that. I'd love for you guys to give them a shot. Ames Eye Clinic. It's up on 10th Street. If you are in Des Moines, it's over on 2600 Grand Avenue. They will hook you up. Awesome guys. They're big Cyclone fans and proud supporters of CycloneFanatic.com, and they've helped me a lot. All right, here back today to our newest installment of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast.
Welcome back to CFTV Live presented by AccraGold. If you are watching our live stream right now, or if you're watching the video version of this, you might be confused. I'll post this as two different videos. I'm not entirely sure what happened. I'm going to have to talk to our streaming guy.
We got
once we get done.
Our screen, our monitor froze.
Yeah.
So maybe it didn't for you guys.
And then it turned off.
But it did for us.
Yeah. Now
so
it's back.
It might be fine.
Might be fine.
It might not be.
Might not be. But regardless, we're back. CFTV Live presented by AccraGold. All right. So you started talking about the talent for Iowa State just going up against this South Dakota State team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you're someone who can offer some really good perspective into that just because of what the roster was like.
Because of how much talent I had in my physical body?
Yes, exactly. But I'm saying
heavy. For those not watching and just listening, I think I need to explain how much sarcasm is actually in that comment.
A lot.
A significant volume of sarcasm.
Yeah.
No one ever accused me of being too fast for my own good.
Well, I'm not even talking about you. I'm just saying top to bottom, the roster now compared to the
much
roster
more talented.
Your senior year.
What's funny is I was looking at the running back depth chart.
Yeah.
Any one of the top four dudes would have probably started when I was there. I mean, no offense to James White and Chantrell Johnson. I think they're really good running backs. But Chantrell is probably better as a change of pace guy. James is probably better as a change of pace guy. I was probably better as a change of pace guy, just different kind of pace. But we didn't have any bell cows. Like, we had three guys that were good alternatives but didn't have any bell cows. There are three to four bell cows in there. Like, Sheldon Crony, from Crony, Lang, and Kanade Wongu, those three guys are probably better talented than any one of the guys in the backfield that we had.
Would even Mike Warren have fit into that category?
Talented-wise, yes. I think his mechanics, for whatever reason, have gone to garbage.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But there's a reason why he's on the fifth line. And watching him, there's a second guessing going on, which means when your windows are this guy is going running, you know, 15 miles an hour to block somebody, and this guy is running 15 miles an hour to block somebody, and that's your window like that, you can't hesitate for two steps. It has to be right now. And for whatever reason, he's not confident enough or not decisive enough, or maybe it's just pure mechanics and he knows what he's doing. It's just not translate. I don't know. But there's reasons he's on the five line, and it's just because he's not making fast enough decisions. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched any fall, but during the spring, I watched one or two practices, and it was always the same where it's just like, it's good. He's physically talented, but it's just not the right mechanics. But anyway, the people at specifically running back, I mean, shoot, running back, tight end, and wide receiver, all three of those positions are as talented as Iowa State's had in a long time, if ever. I mean, when's the last time that you had a running back that I was watching prior to the preseason game, because everyone's it's like football fever at this point now. I'm sitting down and actually watching preseason NFL games.
I went to a preseason NFL game.
Right? Why? There's no point for that. But the fact of like, I just need this. Like, everyone's relapsing now and finally just going to dive headlong into the addiction that is football. But anyway, so before the game it was a Bills-Bengals preseason game that I was watching beforehand so I didn't miss kickoff. That's my problem. But anyway, they had Fox College Football Saturday. They brought up David Montgomery, and one of the announcers, before anything started, said this might be one of the best backs in the conference, if not the country. When was the last time Iowa State had a player, let alone a running back, that had that kind of nature to him?
I mean, Allen would be the only kind of, running back, I don't know. It would have to be Troy Davis, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was probably the last time there was that mention of, like, national quality.
Yeah.
And so there's that. And then, you talk about guys like Chase Allen, who is getting demonstrably better. And then a guy like Dylan Sainer, who didn't do anything to not play really well. But then you get Charlie Kohler, who just leapfrogged him on the depth chart just because they're playing well. Like, they have three good, capable tight ends. Each do something slightly different.
They can line up with – I legitimately think they can line up in a three tight end set and just run straight at people, depending on what the offensive line will be able to do.
Right.
If they can handle it, then I think that those tight ends can do it.
They can. And they also the fun thing about this offense is the flexibility that it has now.
Yeah.
Because you can go from – you can play an 11 or 12 personnel, so one running back, one tight end, or one running back, two tight ends. You can play an 11 or 12 personnel and play – fullback, you know, one of them, like Chase Allen plays the fullback position, like what Seenbuckner normally plays. But, like, you can play him at that fullback position, and then you can play Charlie Kohler or Dylan Sainer as your down tight end and have Dave Montgomery as your running back, and you can just pound the hell out of people. And then the very next play, both Kohler and Allen have the capacity to be wide receivers in different spots, and Dave Montgomery can catch the ball. So you can go from a tight, I'm going to kick you in the face personnel grouping to completely spread open and not miss a beat because the talent they have at every position.
Yeah.
And then vice versa, you can do like a two running back personnel with Johnny Lang or Kanade Nwangu in the backfield and then instantly spread both of your running backs out as wide receivers and have Seenbuckner stay in as an extra pass protector. And you've got like DeShante Jones and whether it's Eaton or Butler, and then you have, you know, Montgomery and Nwangu. Like, you have all these pieces that you can do so much with to just be like, where is my advantage? Because that's one thing, that's football's not that complex. Where is my advantage? Do I have a better option of spreading them out and going against the linebacker? Do I have a better option of keeping everything condensed, get one-on-one matchups? Like, where are my options? And you can play with 500 different combinations of running backs in the slot, tight ends attached, tight ends spread, two running backs in the backfield, three wide receivers, four wide receivers. You have all this variability talent that it has not been there at Iowa State, I don't think, ever. I mean, maybe back when there was like the Lane Danielson, Flynn, Whitmer, like Blythe-ish kind of years when they had like Ennis Haywood, like maybe, but probably still this talent, the talent they have here is now probably better than has ever been there.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely can't disagree with anything that you said. And it's all going to come down to that offensive line. I mean, more than anything else, like, we know that those guys are good. We know that they can do a bunch of different stuff. We know that Kyle Kemp is good. He can get the ball into the hands of the guys that we also know are good.
His job, don't screw it up. And like, get it to a playmaker.
At this point, we just want to know that those five guys that are tasked with protecting him are also good.
Yeah.
And are also good enough to give him an opportunity to get the ball in the hands of the guys that are really good.
Which is exciting and interesting to me. Another, like, that third position group that we talked about is defensive line, a true freshman at Mike linebacker, and the offensive line, where Colin Newell is starting at center as a redshirt freshman. And that is a little weird to have a redshirt freshman starting at center.
Have you ever met Colin Newell?
I have not.
He's like I only talked to him like 3 times, I think, when he committed, and then twice in interviews, and once in spring and once in the fall. Mm-hmm. He might be the nicest human being I've ever met in my entire life. I don't think I've ever seen him not smile. Mm-hmm. I guess somebody asked him in an interview, are you mean enough to start at center in the Big 12? And he just was kind of, he kind of laughed. He was like, well, I think so.
Oh, golly.
It's just like that, you know?
Shucks.
And he's just like the ultimate just Iowa kid, where you can just tell that he loves
Isn't
to play
Ames
for
kid?
The Cyclones. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Loves to play for the Cyclones. He grew up an Iowa State fan. It's like, what are your favorite Iowa State memories, Colin? And then he lists like 50 of them. And it's things that he wasn't even alive for. It's like, you don't have a memory of that.
He's the Dirty 30 in the Peach Bowl. Like,
yeah.
No. Your parents weren't probably alive at that point.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, this kid, I think he's smart, and as long as he's mean enough, as long as he's tough as hell, like they say that he is, then I think he's going to be okay.
Well,
because he's got some guys who know what they're doing alongside him.
Well, I think the other interesting little note on that depth chart, and let me pull it back up, the funny thing about that depth chart, too, is everybody was, like, really high on Sean Foster.
Yeah.
He's a two. I mean, granted, they rotated in last year, and I bet they still do that same thing this year where they're not going to just have 5 dudes take all the snaps.
Yeah.
But
they also have the guy who's probably their best dude right in front of them.
Julian Good-Jones played center last year and is now moving to left tackle. And that is a very interesting move. Like, the last guy that made that move to, that I can remember, was Ben Lamach, is moved from center to tackle because Lamach was a really, really good athlete. Like, just basketball player, baseball player, like, athletic dude. And so they let him actually move from one position to another position. And I think you want your best athlete at tackle. And so that tells me that Julian Good-Jones is also their best athlete, not just their best offensive lineman. He's just their best athlete. Mm-hmm. And they move him to the position where you have to be the most athletic. So I think that's one interesting move to me.
We know Kniffel's a stud.
He's one of the maulers.
Yeah.
Like, I think I've talked about this before, where there's technicians and there's maulers, and when you put them both together, you get an NFL player. But at guards, I want maulers. Like, I don't know anything about the Mueller kid.
Yeah, he's huge.
I don't know anything about him.
Yeah.
But he's ahead of Ogie, who is a mauler. Mm-hmm. And so you get two guys, which I would assume, that are in that same position. Now, what I mean by mauler is you can tell a dude, I'm going to move you out of the way, and they can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And just because you are going to, like a bouncer at a nightclub where you're just going to move someone. Like, that's you don't have to have the best footwork. Obviously, it helps. I'm not saying don't. But, like, a guy that just has the physical capacity to just move a human being where they want him to. And that's where your guards go. And your center needs to be a technician. He needs to know where everything's going to be. And literally, the way that, like, and I would assume that any offensive line is going to be put together is you have really good athletes playing tackle, you have a really smart dude playing center, and you have two grizzly bears playing guard. And your guards can be, like, I don't mean this in, like, a negative sense. I'm not saying any, like a derogatory term. But when I say dumb, meaning they're more concerned about how they're doing something than what they're doing. So, yeah. Like, when we had our guys, and I'm not meaning this in a derogatory term, like football dumb, like Ethan Tufte and Hayworth Hicks were our two of my favorite guards that I played with. Ethan Tufte was an 800-pound back squatter and a 500-pound bench press guy. He didn't usually know where he was going, but Tom Farniok, when he was playing offensive line, would be like, hey, Ethan, combo 79 to 53. All right, got it. Literally telling Ethan, hey, you are going to move that human being, and then I'm going to go move that human being. Got it? Got it.
Yeah.
And they did. And so at that point, and again, Hayworth Hicks was another guy that was the same way, where it's just like, it's fine. If they need to know where it's going, you got maulers. And I think for sure Kniffel's one of those guys. He's just a mauler, just move people out of the way. And I would assume Mueller's the same way. And then Newell, that's why it's okay for him to be a freshman, because at center is just, he's got to be, I've said this before, like this metaphor, you have 5 guys in offensive line, you have 5 guys in a basketball court. Your point guard doesn't need to score a lot of points, doesn't need to be the best shooter. He just needs to be the guy that can facilitate the offense. And your center is the same way, where he doesn't need to be your best blocker. He's not your strongest guy. He's not your best athlete. He is the smartest guy that can coordinate the group, can see the entire look, and get everybody where they need to go, and then hold his own when he actually has to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I just – it. If you told me that each of those guys in the offseason, their offseason job was working as the bouncer at Sips, I'd believe it.
Any one of the five dudes?
Yeah, because they're all huge. You know, I think maybe the shortest one's like 6'3".
Newell's 6'4". Goodjones 6'5". Mueller 6'6". Newell 6'4". Kniffel 6'5". Meeker 6'6". All of them are 300 plus. Newell's 292. Goodjones 296.
There's no Wendell Tyese who's like 5'10". Or Patrick Scoggins.
Patrick Scoggins, there you go.
Yeah.
No, Tyese was big. He just had the least mobile hips on God's green earth and a terrible attitude.
Dude, that offensive line, though, that had opened up holes for Mike Warren really wasn't that terrible, though. They couldn't pass block for much, but they sure could clear some holes for Mike Warren
they
to run through.
They could move him.
Yeah, yeah.
Couldn't stop him. They could move him.
Yeah. Hey, it got him some yards at least.
That's true.
Didn't win him many games.
Not a lot of wins.
No.
Not a lot of wins.
All right. You got anything else? Any other things that stuck out to you on there?
I don't think there's anything that, like, stuck out, like, wow. But it's still – Kanae is listed, I think, as a four. Four, yeah. Kanae's a four. What does that mean? What does he do?
I think Kanae is just going to play everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, a little bit.
He's not on the depth chart anywhere else. But we've talked about this before.
Except like, kick returner.
Kick returner. Okay. Yeah. But, like – that dude is so freakishly fast and can do like the Jarvis West running full speed in this direction, take one step and he's running full speed in that direction. He can do that. And you don't keep that on the sidelines. That's too much explosion, too much capacity. Johnny Lang's kind of the same way. I just think Kanae's a different breed of beast. But what does the Kanae Nwangu factor look like? Is it just 12 to 15 plays? He's going to get the ball seven times and just see what he can do with it? Or... like what I'm just – that's the thing. Again, I said this since last spring. Like what is the Kanae Nwangu factor? Because Dave Montgomery is the best player on the field, you can't take him off the field. But you can put somebody who is another freak athlete on the field with him. And then you get DeShante Jones. And then, again, you get Hakeem Butler. And you get Matt Eaton. Where does he fit in? And I'm just super excited to see like the package plays they've got for the freak of Kanae.
All right. We need to sign off. Thanks, Jeff. We should say, too, that we will be part of the Cyclone Fanatic pregame show.
Woo!
Saturday, starting at 4 o'clock, same spot out by the Olsen Building at Jack Trice Stadium. I'll see you there. I'll save your prediction for then.
I'm so excited.
So if you want to hear Jeff's prediction,
I'll do a little more digging into South Dakota State, more than just program integrity.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks again to AgriGold for being the sponsor, CFTV Live. Talk to you guys again next week. Peace.